Good morning, Julie. How are you?
Good morning, Brian. I'm good, thank you very much.
Now, you're a poet in the Gaelic language mainly. You're from
Yes.
Connemara. You're living in Tasmania in Hobart. Can you tell us a little about your journey from there to here?
My journey from Connemara started a long, long time ago. I left there when I was quite young. I moved to Australia about 15 years ago now, and I've mostly lived in WA, and I came to Tasmania about 2 years ago now, even though initially I came just for a short while. We seem to have become quite fond of it, and it looks very much like home. So it feels like a beautiful place to live. Lots of green and lots of blue. So it's very similar to Connemara, in my opinion, except for the gum trees, of course. When you see the gum trees, you're reminded that you're actually somewhere that's a bit different. But certainly the rolling hills, the Derwent, the beautiful green, the dark blue sky, that certainly feels a lot like home to me. So I think that's probably why we're still here.
And I suppose the weather is not that dissimilar, is it?
No, it's not that dissimilar. Although I would say Connemara is wetter, but it's definitely quite similar in lots of ways. Yes.
You write poetry in Gaelic.
I do, yes. I was raised with the Irish language, so it seems kind of a natural process for me to write in the Irish language.
Do you find many people in Australia who actually speak Gaelic fluently?
There's a few, and those who speak it, I think, generally try and make quite an effort to keep it going and keep speaking it. Those who seem to speak it seem to have a great love for it, the way I do. So once you find them, you've certainly found a friend and someone you have something in common with. There were a lot more before. Certainly in WA, there was quite a lot more. There were quite a few people from Connemara there too at one point. But I think a lot of them have returned home when things improved at home. So there's a few of us left. Pop-up Gaeltachts come, they pop up around the place every now and again, and people get together in groups and speak it. So it is there. You just have to really kind of look for it every now and again. Not too sure about Tasmania. I haven't found any here yet, but certainly on the mainland, yes.
Your new book, Cnavascolta, Split Bones, what's that title refer to?
Cnavascolta or split bones is kind of the way I would describe what it feels like to sort of be an immigrant. It's kind of like part of you here and part of you there. And you're trying to, I suppose, figure out how to connect to your new place. And you're still slightly connected to another place, which is very, very far away. So it's almost like you're really split down the middle, right at the very core. And I think as well, when you move somewhere new, you have to really reevaluate so many different ways of thinking, and you have to reassess how you think about things, and it kind of pushes growth on you, whether you want it or not. Really, you must if you want to keep moving forward. So it kind of feels like you're split for a while until you start to settle in and really accept where you are and connect to where you are and start sort of letting go a little bit more of where you came from. And there's loss when you leave your home country, but there's also gain when you go somewhere new. So it's kind of like that. You do feel like you're split in the very core for a while until it starts to settle, I think. So that's, I think, what I was referring to.
Do you think in Gaelic or think in English?
Now, people ask me that all the time. I think earlier on, I definitely did in Gaelic. It's changed a lot now because since I left high school, everything has been in English since then. So I was probably thinking both a bit, but I think when I'm under pressure, sometimes I would revert to Gaelic every now and again. I don't know, when you're counting, for example, really quickly, or when you're doing I don't know, doing decimals or multiplication or something. I do all of those still in Irish, those kind of basic things that you learn in school. So it depends. When I'm speaking to the Irish speaking community, I'm definitely reverted to exactly thinking how they would think. What you'd blend into your community. So it depends. It depends, Brian. Sometimes I am and sometimes I'm not, I think. I think being bilingual, I think most people would feel that. Sometimes you're reverting and sometimes you're just sitting with one language or the other.
Your new book has 51 short stories, both in Gaelic and translated into English, or the other way around. Which did you write it in first, Gaelic or English?
Oh, I definitely write in Irish first. Definitely. I really hadn't thought about writing in English ever until recently. And a lot of people, particularly in WA, a lot of people have been asking me, can you translate some of your work so we get an inkling of, what it's about, and that it gives people an insight of what you're writing about, I suppose. So that's when I sort of started translating it. That's a really difficult process, I found out very quickly. It was very long, drawn out, and trying to fiddle with words and trying to get the right meaning and all that sort of thing. So it took a long time to do that. It's quite a frustrating process. And then, of course, I reversed it and thought, well, you know what, if I write something in English, let's try translating that to Irish. And that didn't work either. So it's actually quite a difficult thing to do. But I would prefer, and I still prefer, to write in Irish. It still feels, particularly in poetry, it still feels a lot more natural and normal to me. I always feel that I'm a bit clunky in English, and it's very smooth in the Irish language, for me particularly.
Well, I was some way into your new book, and it dawned on me, she's a poet, but this is prose, but it felt very poetic, the prose. Is that kind of a style of writing?
Oh, yes, for sure. That's exactly what it should. I'm delighted you said that, because that's what it should be, Brian. It's prose poetry. Prose poetry is one of those genres that's it's not huge in Australia. I haven't seen any in the Irish language, so I'm very excited to be doing it myself. To be honest, I was inspired by what I did one day. Is I was walking past Dimmock's in WA, and I'm always drawn to the poetry section there anyway. And I saw this book, an anthology of Australian prose poetry by Cassandra Atherton and Paul Hetherington. And I just picked it up, and I was really hooked from the first time I just opened it. They're just little snippets. They're kind of little stories. And I think they're perfectly suited for the Irish language, because you kind of speak in bursts in the Irish language. So it just felt right to be using that kind of style for the Irish language. So that's how I kind of got inspired. And people kind of do ask a lot, what is prose poetry? And it's very similar to flash fiction as well. So it's a relatively new genre, but it's really up and coming in Australia, which is very promising. It's poetry and prose, I suppose.
Now, you wrote this in Gaelic and translated. It must be very difficult to get that prose poetry feel in the translation.
It is. It really is, because you're using two different cultures, really. You know, you're shifting from one way of thinking to what I would describe as a completely different way of thinking. That's requires an awful lot of work, and some people use different type of approaches in translating. Some people, you know, would approach it and translate it literally, sentence by sentence, and some would take the essence of a poem and then maybe translate that, which turns into a very different type of version of a poem in a different language. So it depends on what you like, I suppose. And I did quite a bit of research before I started translating, because I'd never intended translating any of my work. So I started reading a lot of translations and looking at styles. I noticed just the variation in styles, you know, and I noticed myself getting quite frustrated if I read a poem in English and then read it in Irish and they really didn't connect at all. So I thought, oh, no, that definitely is not a style I would connect with. So I tried to stick with the original as much as I could when I was translating. And again, it results in a bit of clunkiness in the English ones. But for me, when I'm reading, when I want to sort of get into and understand a poem in a different language, I really want to find out the kind of style of that language. I really want to find out what's behind the thinking of that poem. And you really get to understand people's cultures if you look at their language. So when I was translating my own poetry, it was very much in my mind that people get an idea of the style of the Irish language, and they would get a feel of what it feels like to speak English in Ireland, because we have a particular style. I mean, every country who speaks English has a different style. And our English in Ireland is very much affected and shaped by the Irish language. So I tried to get that across as much as I could and stick to the Irish version as closely as I could. Yeah, so that was no easy task.
Can I maybe go to one of your stories, travelling inland towards Bullsbrook in Western Australia? Could I ask you to read a little bit of that in Gaelic and then the English version?
Yes, sure. I think you're familiar with WA, Brian,
yes.
But you know it's really hot. If you get up really early in the morning, it's very, very bright. And when I was traveling inwards, and I used to work out in Bullsbrook, it just feels like you're heading somewhere that's very, very, very distant, and you're on a very open road, and you know it's the sun is rising, and it's really beautiful, of course, but it just feels very different, I suppose, to what I would be used to in the landscape I grew up in. with the colors and the shapes and everything. So yeah, I'll read that one for you now. I'll do the first verse in the Irish language. Okay. Taistil in Tí Ruga Bullsbrook, WA. Síomhnaíonn síochán na maidzine an talamh, ordaíonn an ghrian, mo chuícha go máil is méid taistil is dro an athir, trasna an iontas mór ganibach, an mealach an diúr róm, áitín ramín síoch de Basca. Dúla na trein bohar me fuhu, mo flabanar amach mar gan cúram, Colin and Boho Room or Hai Shitanga, Lyabana Lyahana, Lyharacha, Licorice. Is Antara Dove Eg Bogo El Lochon Fi Unsi Has Namidinen. Strahem and Balibeg Dor, Esta is Bot, Terim is Triachta. Laura Gleshka Nagain and Nabali Buit Arshacha, Katala Do. Shan Stoshun Petrol Medigach, Tichin and Rawberry, Shan Trukana Eg Umpur Chlortinian, Is Madri, Shadonacha Eknada. Can go to Erinrim. Travelling inland towards Bullsbrook, WA. The morning's peace calms the land. The rising sun blinds slowly as I travel east across the vast sandy wilderness towards the green where the civil sit in shade. Road trains inhale me under, spluttering me out carelessly. The road sleeps like a ghostly tongue. Wide flaps of leathery licorice with black tar softening in puddles under the attack of the morning heat. I reach the dour little village, aged and poor, dry and weary, stains of scalding sun on its weather-worn walls. An old rusty petrol station, drover homes, old youths carrying surfboards, panting dogs tethered to their backs. Country music twangs from parked cars, great mining ogres chugging by under care, carrying gluttonous diggers and drillers preparing for the big steal from the Pilbara. Calamund is green in the background, cooler in winter, say the wealthy. I shrug. These trees are only far from the ocean, I reason to myself. I wouldn't know where I'd be, I think, with orientation on my mind. Meadows singe from summer scalding, a bush screams in burning pain, preparing for healing in winter's rest. The glen of chittering stretches its branches and a roof of speckled trees settles in the glen like measles on a child's skin.
That is a pretty good, perfect analysis of WA, country WA, let's say. Well
it
done.
It is, yes, yes. WA is, well, the first word that pops into my mind when I think of WA is hot, but if there's a heaviness in the air in WA, isn't there? There's a, the air is weighted, it feels quite, and the sun, of course, piercing all the time. That's quite an unusual feel, for example, in comparison to Tasmania, which feels very much like home.
Your new book, Split Bones, Where can people get copies of it?
Oh, well, it's in the Hobart bookshop at the moment, the lovely little bookshop on Salamanca Square. It's available online from Fish Ponds or Booktopia, any of those. And it's available, of course, from the publishers, Bobtail Books. So from their site as well.
Julie, thank you for talking.
More than welcome. Thank you, Brian.